Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com, brought to you by Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse and Sealmaster. He is with us the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. What a week it's been. So, PK, let's just start with the firing of Callahan, the timing of it all. You know, Monday comes around, they lose to the Raiders. Callahan's shown the door, and then a few hours later, they finally name Mike McCoy the interim head coach. They had the press conference at 7:30 at night, which tells me, we talked about the next day, tells me this is an Amy thing, and Amy decided that she had had enough of Brian Callahan, and then Borgonzi, Brinker basically went into scramble mode after that and started to put together the plan of how they were going to proceed. How do you view it? How do you view the timing and how this decision came to be? From on the Brian Callahan standpoint,
I mean, I don't think it matters that they used the whole day, really, and that it took till 4 o'clock for them to meet with the coaches and have McCoy meet with the coaches. But I do think it says that they didn't have a plan, and if they didn't have a plan, it's because Amy came in and told them what was what. I think it's very rare to send out the statement that you're firing the coach without naming the interim coach as part of it.
How rare is it to have a press conference, a late night press conference? Let's do a primetime presser.
Very
rare. What the hell?
Very
You can't
rare.
Tell me. Yeah, people can't sit here and tell me that. Like, oh yeah, this is all. It's all how they planned it.
No, very rare, and tells you how much prep time they need to get ready for that press conference, where Borgonzi was reluctant to speak. Chad had to nudge him. And look, they sit there and take the body blows, and they did it. You know, one of the guys who writes analytically about the Titans, I think, from afar, said, you know, he's surprised at the tone, as if we were like anti Callahan firing. And I don't think that's why the tone
that's
was what
Dennis
was.
Just asked. He said, is PK saying the team should have been more patient with Callahan? Is that what you're saying, PK?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm surprised at the switch based on what I knew of what their plan was. And that's another reason I think it was Amy. But I think
the front office did not want to do this.
No. But I think the tone of the press conference from the press's point of view is, here are these two guys finally who we haven't talked to. We're talking about all the dysfunction and the contradictions like you're talking about. The front office didn't want to do this. The person who's doing it is not here. Where is she? And a lot of questions that may have seemed like they're about Callahan, but really were about continued dysfunction for the organization, and now we finally have you two. That's the tone.
It's the two things being true thing that we talk about all
people
the
really struggle with.
Yes, Brian Callahan was doing a poor job and was going to be fired at some point, deserved to be fired. Okay. Also, this is a next step in dysfunction, and the owner is the problem. Like, both of these things completely coexist with no issue at all.
Correct.
But I somehow there's a disconnect with some.
And people don't get it. And look, I the front runner thing. You know, Amy had no problem being out there signing your sweaty visor at tailgates when things were good. How you're okay with her fading into oblivion now is beyond me.
What did you make of McCoy being named the interim head coach? I mean, from the surface, it makes sense, right? Like, he's been a head coach before. You're not disrupting the normal jobs of the other guys, who at this point know that they're probably looking for a new job at the end of the year. What did you make of McCoy being the selection?
I was a little bit surprised because he's the newest and he hasn't been around for a lot of this. I understand there's big roster turnover, but there's a big thing that he's taking over, and he's only been part of 6 games of it and hasn't had a media presence.
Introduce himself to the players today. Hi, guys.
Yeah, we don't.
My name's Mike. I'm Coach Mike.
The defense probably doesn't really know him at all. You know, a lot of people have said, "Well, you're not disrupting Denard on defense. You're not disrupting Fossil." I mean, I think Fossil from what I was told in investigating, could have easily handled special teams with Renee Stewart, his deputy. Look, it's not like you're disrupting some well-oiled machine on special teams, maybe, but they had a bad game this last game. You're not disrupting some well-oiled machine, and yep. Bringing in an interim coach is in and itself a disruption. You want it to be disruptive to a degree. But McCoy was good with us, wants incremental game-to-game improvement, spoke well of his intentions with Cam Ward. I'm scared, of the big press conference where they, I understand putting all your resources into Mike McCoy now, but stop short of making it like you want to make him the candidate. If they hire Mike McCoy after this season, barring the most remarkable turnaround in NFL history, when the whole world of coaching possibilities is open to them, that would be another big marker in dysfunction.
I want to save that, and I want to compare it to what you must have absolutely said on the air exactly 10 years ago when Mike Mularkey came in. Is that right? I mean, you must have said the exact same thing, yeah. Right?
Sure.
Is it a crazy idea that Amy might be a little enamored? This McCoy guy, he seems to know what he's doing.
I think she's further along.
Mularkey went 2-7, right?
I think,
and got the job.
I think Brinker and Borgonzi are further along and more empowered than Rustin Webster was, who I believe was the GM at the time, and also tagged to be next out in a pretty quick fashion. And she really, she didn't know what she's doing, but she really didn't know what she was doing at that time and had no success. At least now.
She's been around.
She knows what success. Yeah.
She's done stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
She had a period of success with people that she hired.
We got a lot more to get to with PK, including the Chad Brinker part of this that I want to focus on coming up next. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kuharsky with us for the rest of the show, talking all things Tennessee Titans in the aftermath of the firing of Brian Callahan. PK, I think a lot of Titans fans look at the situation that's gone down. 4 firings in 4 years, as you pointed out. Chad Brinker's been here for a lot of it. He's been here through the Carthon experience at the end of the Vrabel tenure. Carthon gets fired last year. Now Callahan fired. And the question that comes up is, how has Chad Brinker insulated himself through all this? How has he been able to just basically not only survive, but thrive through all this? So what's your read on that?
Before you answer, other than because he's helped by the cover of his media friends, such as yourself.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, the shape of his job, technically, makes him responsible for things that are not things you get fired for. He's in charge. I understand he's involved in personnel. But true or not, he can say, Rand Carthon drafted and signed those people. Mike Borgonzi drafted and signed those people. I am in charge of all of the football things that are not personnel. The turf in the bubble, the overseeing the operations department that gets us to and from road games, the stadium and then the new stadium and our football operations into and out of the stadium. And it's a beautiful job description for not being in charge of, even though technically he's got final say, I don't think he's laying down the hammer and using it in a way, in a smart way, because it protects him from accountability.
So just not doing anything means you're fine.
Not doing anything that is quote-unquote frontline important.
Like all the stuff you're talking about there, that's not the person who should be at the press conference talking about these big moves. And then go...
He's in charge of
Borgonzi. Fix the freaking security cameras.
He's in charge of Borgonzi.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
I don't disagree, but he's in charge of Borgonzi, but he's not Borgonzi.
The bubble's looking good over there. It's a good-looking bubble they got.
You know, guys, I think we need more flair.
I'm just saying that's what the structure and the job the job description is.
Okay, so let's build on that, because I think now there's a natural assumption that Callahan is gone, that the next person on the chopping block is him, right? Like,
and
it's got to be Brinker, right?
And it may well be.
I think it's not their fault they're losing.
He's endeared himself to Amy better than anybody who's been through, probably better than anybody since early John Robinson, right? What does that buy you? You know? And then what does Kenneth think? What does Bryce Wasserman think? And I think Bryce Wasserman is probably pretty tight with Chad Brinker. I think Brinker's probably done the Wasserman thing well, which is important. You know, what are those?
For those who don't know, that's Amy's son-in-law.
Right. And Wasserman is Brinker's chief of staff, so his right-hand man. How is that relationship? All these things keep people employed.
Fans, please buy season tickets of the new stadium. We fired Brian Callahan. Everything's
well.
That? All
about,
is well.
How about that, salesman?
That's pretty good. I got a lot of respect for that.
I mean, I imagine that that guy kept a file of everybody that said, if you fire Callahan, and he went and sent those to everybody.
How many people are like, okay, actually, I meant and Brinker.
and win some games after you fire
him. Add him.
I bet he got a few, though. I bet he got a few to do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably did.
It's good stuff.
You got me. Okay, here's $5,000.
You're right. I did say that. You're right. Let's head back to our phone.
Honey, I've got to write a big check today.
The sales guy called me back. They fired the coach.
He got me. I said something I shouldn't have said.
Let's welcome Roy in Franklin to the program. Roy, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Guys, you know, been a fan for a long time of this team, and the last four or five, six years, it's just been one big carnival. I don't even know if you want to call it a carnival. It may be a country fair where the coaches seem that we bring in and or the GMs where they can't win that game that's rigged. With that being said, is there a coach? I know there's plenty out there that's offensive coordinators and former coaches that are sitting out there just waiting to have their name called to try to win that great prize at the fair. But is there a coach that's on our current roster, NFL team, that's on the chopping block, or a guy that you would probably don't suspect to get canned, and if he does get canned because of the loss of the playoffs or just their team implodes, what guy is currently an NFL head coach that you could possibly see get chopped that may have a shot here to win the great prize at the carnival? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Roy. Appreciate the call.
Wilson County Fair.
I mean,
AKA
the Jets
Tennessee
are
Titans.
Jets are the worst team in the league. They just hired a coach. The Saints are one of the worst teams in the league. They just hired a coach. Those guys, Panthers, maybe a little better than we thought. They're in the second year with the coach. So those guys aren't getting fired, and they wouldn't necessarily be top of the list. People are dreaming when they say Kevin Stefanski, who would be snatched up in a minute. People are dreaming when they say Mike Tomlin, who would be snatched up by a better team in a minute. People would fire their coach to hire Mike Tomlin. When they say Harbaugh from Baltimore, there's no way the Ravens, after one bad season, they're going to reset a little bit. And the guy who's going to help them reset is their head coach, who's a great head coach. There's no way they're firing him. Stop listing these names who aren't getting... Dan Campbell, loses a game, and people are like, "Oh, he's going to get fired. The Titans should hire him."
No, but I mean, I agree. I don't think Harbaugh, but I mean, like, people in the league are talking about it. Maybe it's silly. I agree, but I don't think. I mean, that's not like the same thing as Dan Campbell and Tomlin. I mean, they're probably going to win the division.
The division stinks.
Yeah.
Look, the one thing
going into the year, I don't think that was a crazy idea, was it? Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
What do I care?
Is it crazy?
Well, right. Let's talk about what 6 weeks ago was possible.
Okay.
Instead of what's
you don't think that moving forward that Aaron Rodgers could falter and they could start losing some games? I mean, it's, you know, Stefanski certainly could be fired.
Just not firing him.
But this
is firing Stefanski would be so dumb.
I'm not. Well,
I agree, but it's the Browns.
They would take.
They're dumb.
They would take. He would get a better job.
No, that I agree.
They would
with.
All get better jobs.
Well, that kind of goes back to Ed's question, right? Like, it's not like this is an unattractive. It's 1-32, but the whole thing is, okay, what jobs are open and who's available? And the Titans are going to be low.
Are you
low
going
in the
to be able
order.
To get your best candidate? That's right. What it comes down to.
What jobs are opening? I need to look at the standings.
I mean, Miami is going to open.
Better job.
Yeah. Like, I don't think the Jets will fire Aaron Glenn for 1 year, but my
still
God.
Giants, yep.
Giants could still open. Still open.
I mean, and there'll be I don't think Jackson Dart is what he appears to be, but better job. Ownership, non-meddling ownership, just off that, right?
Would Cincy make a change?
I don't think Cincy will make a change.
They deserve to be mentioned.
Yeah.
Arizona is possible.
Arizona's making a change, I think. Better job.
I mean, I've heard people talk about
maybe job.
Maybe Carroll just needs to,
at the very least.
There'll be a surprise in there.
Yeah,
yeah.
There'll be some jobs open, and again, like you said, it's not like the Titans aren't going to find a head coach. But are you going to be able to come away with your top candidate?
I suspect a low turnover year, though. I'm scanning through the standings. Yeah, there'll be a surprise. But it's not a 7 or 8.
You wouldn't
job
think it'd be a
year.
Bloodbath. There's a lot of pretty new coaches.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, you know, the bloodbaths have been happening sometimes. So maybe that would benefit the Titans if it's only 3 or 4 other jobs they're competing with.
Yeah, but the other thing is the guy you ideally want is unfortunately in the mold of Callahan, though hopefully he's called plays. But I feel like that group has been hired. And you need a couple years of those guys reemerging. You know, they've either been hired or they've been slow-icked.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Joe Brady is
Joe Brady's
going to get a job.
So,
he's very young. Boy, like 32, 35.
Also, he's bounced around an awful lot. His best work's been with the MVP. I'm a little skeptical of Joe Brady.
Yeah, but
36,
I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. I just remember, yeah, I guess when they won it all, I thought he was in his 20s.
Again, terrific coordinator.
Yeah.
Needs to convince you that he's a CEO.
Let's welcome in Dr. Locke to the program. Dr. Locke, thank you for calling in.
What's up, fellas? How you doing this morning?
Good.
I mean, it's kind of a joke. I mean, if you're looking at it, we have the worst job to offer. If you're an up-and-coming coach and you can get – or you're a coach that can get any job, you're not choosing the Titans that have an owner that can't stay in her lane. She needs to go make the other owners a sandwich. I'm sorry, sweetie. You suck at your job. She's terrible. She's god-awful.
She's terrible and she's god-awful. There's no reason to go the other direction you went there.
Right. It doesn't matter. I mean, come on. I mean, look, we have a bunch of no. Everybody there that can keep a job, the only people that can keep a job in our organization are people with no balls. It's Chad Brinker.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Locke, for the call. Learn how to call into a radio show.
Getting a little on the edge there.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question, PK, from Will on Music Row. Are these fair statements? Amy fired J-Rob out of embarrassment, 1. 2, Amy fired Vrabel because he wasn't nice enough in the building. I'm going to say
partly.
3, Rand and Callahan got fired because she was, again, embarrassed. If that's the case.
Well, she embarrassed by hiring a guy that wasn't qualified in Rand Carthon. She embarrassed herself.
Yeah. Yeah. Is she capable of making football decisions? Or are we subject to her reputation decisions? I mean,
she's not capable of making football decisions. And she doesn't have anybody good to help her make football decisions.
So other than that, it's going great for the Titans.
I mean, am I wrong?
No.
Hey, just because we haven't checked in on this, Titans offense, 32nd in yards, 31st in passing yards, 31st in rushing yards, 31st in scoring, 32nd in third down defense, but 25th in the red zone.
Hey, red zone's looking good. Red zone looking a little better out there.
I mean, I hadn't looked at that in a while. You know it's terrible, but when you go and dig up those numbers, you're like, holy hell.
That's why the coach got fired. Well, more with Paul Kuharski coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski with us from paulkuharski.com, talking all things Tennessee Titans.
Joe just recorded a spot during that commercial. Really well done.
Thank you.
Can't wait to hear it on air.
Yep. Sounded good.
One heck of a pitch man right here. Let me tell you something.
Sounded good.
People will be buying that product in droves.
They will. Let's welcome in Adam in Portland to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Well, you know I'm not going to say crazy things that gets me kicked off. I just say things you don't like, Joe.
We didn't kick you off. Did we kick him off?
No, I just kicked off the last guy.
No, you kicked off the last guy. That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so here's my thing, man. So Brinker, he's like the typical guy at every job that everybody looks at and goes, how did he get that job?
We got Morris Code.
And then you realize that, like, he knows where the bodies are buried, man. That's what it is. Like, he's got something on somebody, probably. But the only thing I've seen impressive that the administration's done is this past draft class, which we know was Borgonzi and not Brinker. And the way we know that is because Brinker told you that. Brinker was the one who said, I can go take meetings while this guy makes draft picks. I fully believe that Brinker had nothing to do with this class. So I think he's the next one to fall, man. Like, if not, then Amy's just – she's smitten by him. Like, there's something with him on a personal level, but professionally, she's clouded with who this guy actually is, because I don't think he had anything to do with the draft class.
Well, if he didn't have anything to do with the draft class –
fighting an android
then
in there.
If he didn't have anything to do with the draft class, you want him fired so that he doesn't have any hand in hiring the next coach? Is that the rationale for firing him? I'm asking.
Well, I guess if he didn't have anything to do with any of this stuff, what is he? Why is he the president of football operations?
That's one of the main reasons people want to talk to Amy Adams Strunk to me. What Chad Brinker's now been in this role for some time, and since he's been hired, we've never gotten an answer from the highest up as to what's
he doing?
Why she likes him so
much. Why do you like him so much? And by the way, there's been a whole lot of losing that's gone on at the same time.
Real quick though, just before we continue, so has Adam been like AI all along? Did we just find out that he's a robot?
Yeah, is that Morse code in the background? Did he send out a message? Anybody who knows Morse code, any military people out there or
what was the secret? Could have been our phones.
Could have been our phones.
Maybe we just sent out something terrible.
Don't know.
I hope nothing bad happens.
Well, let's check the phone line again. Let's see if Larry has the same issues.
Larry, no Morse code, please.
Good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. I hope you guys are all doing well on this beautiful Wednesday morning.
Thank you.
Terrific.
And you sound good. I don't hear any beeps.
No beeps. My dog might bark here in a second, but other than that, my question for you guys is a little different from what we've been talking about here, but it's a hypothetical question. If Will Levis had not been injured, had not had a shoulder problem surgery, and if he would have went into this season as our backup quarterback to Cam Ward, do you think he would have played by now?
I doubt it.
You guys have
people would be talking about it.
People would be talking about it. But the kid's got to take his lumps.
Thank you, Larry.
He's got to go through it. I put up I spent some time. I am so bad at Stathead. I'm an ambassador for Stathead, but I don't know how to use the damn thing. It took me forever to come up with this. But here are the
Mr.
quarterbacks.
McGee.
Here are the quarterbacks for in the league since 2000 who have put up a 55% completion percentage or worse in their first six games starting as a rookie. Andrew Luck, Mark Sanchez, Carson Palmer, Kyle Bowler, David Carr.
Some of those names are good.
Andrew Luck and Carson Palmer, big-time quarterbacks. Mark Sanchez went to a couple AFC championship games. That gives me a little hope on Cam. I thought this list was going to stink.
Yeah.
It does not stink.
No, that's a good point. I mean, look, that's going to have to come up at some point.
Oh, it's got to come up.
Significantly. Now, you know, they tried this last game, and it did come up the last game, and they were throwing everything at the line of scrimmage, and it just did not go well. So I'm interested to see how that goes.
I mean, he's drifting, he's falling backwards when he throws, and his feet are just terrible.
Yeah.
I don't understand how it could be that bad when you have to be drilling him constantly on these things. It's like you get into a game and you just forget everything you've discussed and worked on.
That's he's not the first person that's happened to, right? I mean, that's
but when you're watching it up close, it just drives you insane. I can only imagine what the coaches, who are, responsible for this and clearly are drilling him on these things when they're watching it and then they're watching the tape and saying, we spent all day Wednesday talking
about
this stuff. Well,
Levis is a great practice player, great film guy. Then he goes out in the field and whatever happens. Speaking of Cam, I did want to ask about the quote because I've seen different interpretations of it from the Mike Silver piece, which is, I love the quote. It was like, basically, when I start playing
the way I want,
the rest of the league is farted.
Yeah. Opening for a lot of
I didn't take it initially
playing versus playing in the style of my choosing.
Exactly.
Like I take it I as took playing it as well. Well.
But when you do read the actual words, you could, I guess, take it that way.
Yeah. I took it more as the playing well, too. Like, yeah. When I figure it out.
Playing the yeah. quality.
I mean, I think that's what it's got to be, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he would not be but calling hey. Out the coach and the system to that level. He's been very candid at the microphone. If there was a hint of that, we would have heard it already.
And today he's obviously going to talk, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It'll be very interesting, you know, to hear what he says about Callahan's firing.
Yeah.
6 games into his rookie season.
And Mike McCoy is changing what has been the standing practice since Mike Vrabel's been the head coach and will speak after practice.
Mm. There we go. I like it.
Yeah.
What do you make of the idea of a Mike McCarthy being the next Titans head coach?
I mean, I think they can do worse, certainly. He's run successful operations. He's worked with, you know, good quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, he came in second year?
I believe so, yes.
So, I mean, if that's right, he certainly had a lot to do with Aaron Rodgers' development. Dak Prescott was already good when he got there. My fear about him is that he's a little bit of a dinosaur. I think it was the first year with the Cowboys, and they showed him showing Austin Powers clips in a team meeting. Now, Austin Powers is a generation or two removed from those guys, and I think he was acting like, we all get this, right? We're all of the same comedic generation.
I say the kids need to learn the classics.
I do, yeah, too, but
you
that's
think whatever you
want. Don't have that much teaching time. And I just thought it was a complete and utter bumper. Disconnect that seemed to fall entirely flat. These guys were like, what is this?
Well, instead of playing tag under Callahan, they could just go watch Austin Powers together in the offseason.
Yeah. The other thing, so, Sack I mean, I kind of like him, but I don't love him, and I don't think that he should be automatic. So, you know, maybe the other thing I was thinking today, just as a random thing, I was feeling very sorry today for people on the Titans staff, like Peyton McCollum, the assistant quarterbacks coach, or somebody we've probably never talked about, the defensive quality control coach, Dylan Autryneth.
Boy, this is fascinating.
These guys scored all of this competition all summer, every day. Oh, that's a bad incompletion. Oh, that guy bobbled that ball. -3, +2. Their whole lives were based on this competition, the 8-team thing. And it was, by everybody's account, the biggest pain in the ass. And all they did was push it down, down, down to the lowest-ranking guys. Now, the lowest-ranking guys do a lot of dirty work, but this is a special brand of dirty work. And these guys wake up or get to work on Monday and find out the guy they did all this work for is gone. And all of that competition, team-building stuff.
It's all for naught.
You know, it didn't have any bearing on making the team better. It didn't save the coach's job.
Does he get to take the data with him, or is that the Titans' property, you know?
Intellectual property, I mean. Someday it'll be fine. Thousands of years from now, somebody will find that Jeff Simmons' team won, even though he wasn't there.
Yeah,
I need you
it's
guys.
Amazing.
I need you guys to react. A listener sent this on the text line. It's a truly amazing photo, and I need you to look at this before you.
The Rapester.
This guy's like me and my
tailgating.
Wife
smoking darts,
sharing a dart with the greatest coach ever.
Tailgating.
Is Vrabel still smoking cigarettes like he thinks it's freaking 1992?
I spent time with him in the combine, and he was.
God, Vrabel, get your head out of your ass and stop smoking cigarettes.
I mean, who told the story? I think Bobby Carpenter told the story that like he was at Ohio State working out. This was after his career was over.
Yeah.
And he would, you know, smoke a cigarette and then beat everybody in the running.
I mean, seriously.
That they would do.
This dude should have played in the NFL in 1952. Him and Len Dawson over there with their darts. Like, you're like 50, dude. Stop smoking.
He's coming to town this weekend.
His lungs are probably perfect.
They probably
That's
are.
That's the kind of guy that he is.
Probably
right?
are.
He goes to the doctor and he expects him to tell him to stop smoking and... And the doctor doesn't even say anything.
Vrabel coming to town this weekend.
Looks beautiful, Mike.
How do we think that's going to go? And what do we think Titans fans think about how this has all gone down since his firing? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. Rex Road, another great job in the break there.
Yeah, thanks. I'm just
killing it. He's just recording so many spots. It's falling into money.
It reminds me of my favorite ad, Little Chocolate Donuts. You know, Jim Belushi sitting there with a cigarette at the table. That's Vrabel. Hey, I'm a great athlete, Mike Vrabel. Enjoy some delicious Virginia Slims 120s. You know, Vrabel, I used to enjoy the delicious taste of a Camel Light in like 1994, dude. Quit being a loser. Now I'm calling out all smokers. But we should all know that you can't smoke cigarettes anymore, right?
Which one of you has gout?
Do you know he doesn't have gout?
Pretty sure.
Does a lot of running.
Really? You've got his whole medical. Like, how close are you with Vrabel?
How far up his ass are you, Paul? Not that close.
Okay. Well, you don't know he doesn't have gout.
I don't.
I mean, I'd rather
I'm guessing. I think he's pretty healthy outside of the cigarette.
I'd rather have gout than black lungs.
I don't know.
You're not sure?
I mean, the this way you describe gout, it sounds pretty
damn bad. He did compare
bad.
It to brain cancer at
yeah,
one point. So.
And I had to make an apology on the station's
now.
Behalf.
That
was an ugly day.
That is absolute slander.
I know. About brain cancer. He slandered brain cancer.
Vrabel coming to town this weekend. I believe they're a 7.5-point favorite now. Started at 6.5. So I believe they're a 7.5-point favorite now.
That's a significant point.
That is a significant point. There's no doubt about that. Look, I know that they fired Brian Callahan, and maybe there's a short interim head coaching bump that's coming for the Tennessee Titans. I still think that the Patriots are going to come in here and absolutely smack the Titans this weekend. Paul, what do you think? How do you
think
this
is going? I have said from the beginning, I think there'll be bloodstains left on the Titans' artificial turf, and I hope they're prepared to clean that because they have other games on there. Mike Vrabel's going to come here and destroy. And I don't predict games generally unless
up.
I have a strong feeling.
I don't predict games.
The Patriots are going to destroy the Titans. Go ahead, Joe.
Wet,
suck up to the local team.
A wet, sloppy day. You get the interim coach. Everybody's pissed off. The coach got fired. Everybody's sick of it. Sick of this crap. 98, sick of this crap. You know, Drake May turns it over here and there. Vrabel's out there. He's got smoke billowing in front of his face. I mean, I feel like there could be some chaos. What? I feel like this could be way more interesting than most people do.
What other play? So you're predicting an interesting game? Who wins that interesting
I predict
game?
The games on Fridays.
Oh, okay. We're just saving it. Yeah.
But right now, I think the Titans –
Joe thinks the Titans win this game.
I am sensing a Vrabel special. And remember, there's two kinds of Vrabel specials.
There are.
There's the games he shouldn't win that he wins, and the games he shouldn't lose that he loses. And I think this might be a Vrabel special.
All right. Which Titan besides Jeff Simmons are you imagining stepping up for this big occasion?
Peter Skoronski, Cam Ward – Tony Pollard, Chigakonkwo did some good things last
sure.
week.
Yeah.
I'm naming football players.
You are.
They
you
play
are.
For the Titans.
PK, as you know, I mean, a divisive end of the tenure for Mike Vrabel when he got fired. A lot of Titans fans happy to see him go. A lot of Titans fans mad to see him go. How do you feel like the vibe on Vrabel has shifted? Do you feel like it's shifted in the aftermath of all this? And how many Titans fans are hoping that he comes in here and destroys them to shove it to Amy?
I think there are two segments. Some that say, hey, Callahan was bad, but that doesn't forgive Vrabel's last 2 years, and he deserved it. You know, they just did a bad job replacing him. And others who think, you know, he never should have been fired in the first place, and that's what has kept them on this road. You know, we're talking about, or I'm talking about, you know, Harbaugh in Baltimore, you know, reaches a point where they're having a bad season. Who knows if it's two bad seasons? And I don't think there's any question that Baltimore stays the course with their guy. And I tend to think Vrabel, you know, they should have put a governor on him in terms of his desire for more personnel power. I don't think he demanded complete personnel control the way some people do.
He asked.
Right. But not getting it doesn't mean, like, I've asked for promotions at jobs before. Then you don't get the promotion or the raise, and then you go back to work.
Which yeah, never complain about it at all in your case, I'm sure. Right?
Well, that's one thing to complain about. It's another thing to be out of work and to break your contract. So I think he should have remained the head coach here, and I think things would be in a much better place if he was.
It's going to be interesting to see how it goes this weekend. What's crowd going to look like, do we think?
Yeah, and will they
Has the fan
anything?
Base been reinvigorated?
More fans say, like Adam said yesterday, like more. He's like, okay, now I don't have to root against the Titans because I wanted Callahan gone, and he's fired. I still think, Paul, that a lot of people are going to be like, I want Amy to be embarrassed. And so I want, like, the season's lost. I want the number one pick. I want Amy to be embarrassed and somehow decide she needs to relinquish control and let Kenneth take over, whatever. How many people you feel like are in that boat?
I don't know. It just runs so counter to me. I can't recall. And the Yankees had some terrible times where I wanted Steinbrenner
Yankees
down.
Yankees fandom is like they win all the time.
I'm just saying. Well, they had bad stretches where you wanted Steinbrenner out, right? But I couldn't root against them. It just runs against your nature as a fan.
You're too positive.
I can't relate.
You're too much of a sunshiny guy.
I can't relate to those fans who root
but
for
you know they exist.
To lose. Yeah, I'm shocked.
When it's this bad?
I'm shocked by how many of them exist. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks. This was an excellent show by all three of us, and you're welcome.
Yes. That does it for us today. Back tomorrow at 6 a.m. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman and Corey Curtis coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.